Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom and I'm glad you're joining us for the second part of the Cardiology Short Answer Questions podcasts. If you like these questions, you can find these plus many more multiple choice questions, extended matching questions, and digital flashcards, as well as other resources at members.zerotofinals.com. The members site helps you track all your learning, so you know what your scores are doing and you know that you're ready when your exams come around. I really think the member site is an incredible resource for learning the medicine and surgery content at any stage of medical school or postgraduate exams. And I'm sure if you give it a try, it'll become your go-to for testing yourself and learning this content. It costs £9.60 a month and you can cancel at any time. But for now, let's get started on these cardiology questions. Question 58. What are the secondary causes of hypertension? You can use the roped mnemonic. R for renal disease, O for obesity, P for pregnancy-induced or preeclampsia, E for endocrine, for example, hyperaldosteronism or Cushing's, and D for drugs, for example, steroids. Question 59. What change to the heart may occur in patients with long-standing hypertension? Left ventricular hypertrophy. What examination finding may be present in left ventricular hypertrophy? A forceful apex beat. Question 60. What ambulatory or average home blood pressure readings indicate stage 1 hypertension? Above 135 over 85. What about stage 2 hypertension? Above 150 over 95. Question 61. Other than blood tests, what baseline investigations are required in patients with a new diagnosis of hypertension? A urine albumin creatinine ratio to assess for proteinuria, a dipstick test to assess for microscopic hematuria, and an ECG. Question 62. Why perform fundoscopy in patients with hypertension? To look for hypertensive retinopathy. Question 63. Which class of antihypertensive drug is recommended in place of ACE inhibitors in patients with Black African or African Caribbean family origin? Angiotensin receptor blockers, or ARBs, for example, candesartan. Question 64. What is the most common side effect of ACE inhibitors? A dry cough. What is the usual alternative class of antihypertensive drug in patients who experience a dry cough with ACE inhibitors? Angiotensin receptor blockers, or ARBs, for example, candesartan. Question 65. What is the most common side effect of calcium channel blockers? Ankle edema. What is the usual alternative class of antihypertensive drug in patients who experience ankle edema with calcium channel blockers? Thiazide-like diuretics, for example, indapamide. Question 66. What is the first-line class of antihypertensive medication in patients under 55? ACE inhibitors, for example, ramipril. Question 67. What is the first-line class of antihypertensive medication in patients over 55? Calcium channel blockers, for example, amlodipine. Question 68. What is the first-line class of antihypertensive medication in patients with type 2 diabetes? ACE inhibitors, for example, ramipril. Question 69. A combination of which three classes of medications are used, if required, to control high blood pressure? ACE inhibitors, for example, ramipril, calcium channel blockers, for example, amlodipine, and thiazide-like diuretics, for example, indapamide. Question 70. What options are available as a fourth agent in patients already taking the usual three antihypertensives? Potassium-sparing diuretics, for example, spironolactone, alpha blockers, for example, doxazosine, or beta blockers, for example, atenolol. Question 71. What electrolyte abnormality is associated with both ACE inhibitors and spironolactone? Hyperkalemia, or raised potassium. Question 72. What examination findings suggest accelerated or malignant hypertension in a patient with a blood pressure above 180 over 120? Retinal hemorrhages or papilledema. Question 71. What does the first heart sound, S1, represent? The closing of the atrioventricular valves, the tricuspid and the mitral valves, at the start of the systolic contraction of the ventricles. Question 74. What does the second heart sound, S2, represent? Closing of the semilunar valves, the pulmonary and the aortic valves, once the systolic contraction is complete. Question 75. Where on the chest is the aortic area? In the second intercostal space at the right sternal border. Question 76. Where on the chest is the pulmonary area? In the second intercostal space on the left sternal border. Question 77. Where on the chest is the mitral area? In the fifth intercostal space in the mid-clavicular line. Question 78. Where on the chest is the tricuspid area? In the fifth intercostal space on the left sternal border. Question 79. What heart valve pathology is best heard with the patient positioned on their left-hand side? Mitral stenosis. Question 80. What heart valve pathology is best heard with the patient sat up, leaning forward, and holding exhalation? Aortic regurgitation. Question 81. What valve pathology can cause malar flush? Mitral stenosis. Question 82. What valve pathology can cause left atrial hypertrophy? Mitral stenosis. Question 83. What valve pathology can cause left ventricular dilatation? Aortic regurgitation. Question 84. What valve pathology can cause left ventricular hypertrophy? Aortic stenosis. Question 85. What valve pathology can cause left atrial dilatation? Mitral regurgitation. Question 86. What are the features of the murmur that's caused by aortic stenosis? It is ejection systolic, high-pitched, with a crescendo-decrescendo character. Where does the aortic stenosis murmur radiate to? The carotids. Question 87. What blood pressure abnormality is found in aortic stenosis? A narrow pulse pressure, meaning a reduced difference between the systolic and the diastolic blood pressure readings. Question 88. What are the causes of aortic stenosis? Idiopathic age-related calcification, bicuspid aortic valve, and rheumatic heart disease. Question 89. What are the features of the murmur caused by aortic regurgitation? It's an early diastolic, soft murmur. Question 90. What pulse finding is present in aortic regurgitation? A collapsing pulse or water hammer pulse. Question 91. What are the causes of aortic regurgitation? Idiopathic age-related weakness, bicuspid aortic valve, and connective tissue disorders, for example, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome or Marfan syndrome. Question 92. What are the features of the murmur caused by mitral stenosis? It's a mid-diastolic, low-pitched, rumbling murmur. Question 93. What are the causes of mitral stenosis? Rheumatic heart disease and infective endocarditis. Question 94. What are the features of the murmur caused by mitral regurgitation? Pansystolic, high-pitched, whistling murmur. Where does it radiate? To the left axilla. Question 95. What are the causes of mitral regurgitation? Idiopathic age-related weakness, ischemic heart disease, infective endocarditis, rheumatic heart disease, and connective tissue disorders such as Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and Marfan syndrome. Question 96. What are the features on auscultation with tricuspid regurgitation? A pansystolic murmur and a split second heart sound. Question 97. What JVP findings may be seen in tricuspid regurgitation? A raised JVP with giant CV waves, which is called Lankesi's sign. Question 98. What abdominal findings may be seen with tricuspid regurgitation? A pulsatile liver and ascites. Question 99. What are the features on auscultation with pulmonary stenosis? an ejection systolic murmur loudest in the pulmonary area with deep inspiration, and a widely split second heart sound. Question 100. What JVP findings may be seen with pulmonary stenosis? A raised JVP with giant A waves. Question 101. What coexisting pathologies are present in the tetralogy of Fallot? A ventricular septal defect, or VSD, overriding aorta, pulmonary valve stenosis, and right ventricular hypertrophy. Question 102. What is the most common indication for heart valve replacement surgery? Aortic stenosis. Question 103. What scar is a patient with a prosthetic heart valve most likely to have? A midline stenotomy scar. Question 104. What scar would be present after minimally invasive mitral valve surgery? A right-sided mini thoracotomy scar. Question 105. What is the target INR for warfarin in patients with a metallic mechanical heart valve? 2.5 to 3.5. Question 106. What are the major complications of mechanical heart valves? Thrombus formation, infective endocarditis, and hemolytic anemia. Question 107. What procedure may be used in patients with severe aortic stenosis who are at high risk for open heart surgery? Transcatheter aortic valve implantation, or TAVI. Question 108. What is the most common organism to cause infective endocarditis? Staphylococcus aureus. Question 109. What lifestyle choice significantly increases the risk of infective endocarditis? Intravenous drug use. Question 110. What is the name for the painless red flat macules on the palms of the hands and soles of the feet seen in patients with infective endocarditis? Janeway lesions. Question 111. What is the name for the tender red-purple nodules on the pads of the fingers and toes seen in patients with infective endocarditis? Osler's nodes. Question 112. What is the name for hemorrhages on the retina seen during fundoscopy in patients with infective endocarditis? Roth spots. Question 113. What is the name for the thin red-brown lines along the fingernails that are seen in patients with infective endocarditis? Splinter hemorrhages. Question 114. How should cultures be performed before starting antibiotics in patients with infective endocarditis? Three blood culture samples separated by at least 6 hours and taken from different sites. Question 115. What imaging is used for investigating infective endocarditis? Transesophageal echocardiography, or TOE. Question 116. What criteria are used for diagnosing infective endocarditis? The modified Duke criteria. So thanks for listening to this episode, which is part two in the series of cardiology short answer questions. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. I recommend heading over to members.zerotofinals.com, where you can find all of these short answer questions in a format that allows you to track your scores and see how you're improving over time. There's also loads of other resources on the website. That's at members.zerotofinals.com. And I hope you join us for the next episode, which will be part three of the cardiology short answer questions series.